concert attack in Britain.
There was pandemonium everywhere.
Police blame a suicide bomber.
The attack was conducted by one man.
Condemnation from President Trump.
I will call them losers.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan.
And I'm Vicky Barker at the Manchester Arena with the CBS World News Roundup.
Oh, my God.
22 dead, dozens hospitalized after a suspected suicide bomb attack here. The target, children and adults leaving an Ariana Grande concert. Survivors describing how joy became shock and then panic.
There was just people shrieking, running, screaming, jumping over balconies.
My CBS News colleague Mark Phillips reports the bomber struck in the arena's public lobby where some parents waited to pick up their children.
Manchester Police Chief Ian Hopkins says there are many young people among the victims.
We believe the attacker was carrying an improvised explosive device which he detonated, causing this atrocity.
The bomb was designed to kill and maim. Many of the survivors suffered shrapnel wounds. There had been security at the concert, but the bomber did not apparently attempt to get in. His victims came to him.
In the horror and confusion, children got separated from their parents. Some parents are still seeking their children. Stephen Hodgson drove to Manchester to search for his 15-year-old niece, Olivia Campbell.
Her phone's gone dead and we can't find her.
Ariana Grande was uninjured in the attack. She sent this tweet, broken from the bottom of my heart. I am so sorry, I don't have words. Police say they believe they know the identity of the bomber, but aren't revealing it as they continue the search for possible accomplices. So far, they've made one arrest of a 23-year-old they suspect could be linked to the attack. The sophistication of last night's atrocity could signal a sinister new phase in terror here. Again, 22 dead, dozens wounded in this, the worst terror attack on British soil since the London bombings of 2005. Steve?
And Vicky, ISIS now says one of its members carried out the Manchester concert attack. CBS News national security contributor Michael Morrell says the hunt for evidence, links, and answers in the UK is now intense.
We still don't know whether he acted alone or he had accomplices. One of the things you'll see in the aftermath of an attack is the arrest of any friends who might have known him, who might have been in contact with him, just to find out what they know. There's also probably the arrest of other people they've been watching and who are worried about, who they fear may be triggered by this attack.
And here in this country, the Department of Homeland Security says there's been no specific threat against music venues after the Manchester attack, but police have taken action in some places. CBS's Don Daler is in New York City.
Security has been beefed up at high-profile venues such as Madison Square Gardens here. Overnight, the NYPD's heavily armed Hercules units were posted outside the arena. NYPD officers are also guarding the British consulate. Other police departments like the LAPD and the Chicago PD say they are monitoring the incident.
White House correspondent Margaret Brennan says President Trump on the Mideast portion of his foreign trip called the concert attack the work of evil losers.
It's so interesting that our meeting took place on this very horrible morning of death.
Standing beside Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas, President Trump acknowledged the Manchester attack.
I extend my deepest condolences.
Mr. Trump had traveled to Palestinian territory to meet with Abbas in Bethlehem. Abbas said that to achieve peace, Israel needs to recognize the state of Palestine and halt settlement construction on its territory. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu continues to defy Mr. Trump's appeal to hold back.
I am committed to trying to achieve a peace agreement between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
Back in Israel, the president visited the Yad Vashem Memorial and laid a wreath at a site where ashes from Holocaust victims are buried.
The Trump White House is sending a $4 trillion budget proposal to Congress today, and CBS's Nancy Cordes says it's making headlines for what's not in it.
The White House wants to balance the budget in 10 years, partly through deep cuts to social programs. For starters, the proposal embraces the $800 billion in Medicaid cuts outlined in the House Obamacare replacement bill. The president's budget would also reportedly cut funding for subsidized school lunches and programs like Habitat for Humanity. Food stamp funding would be slashed by about 25%, with a new work requirement imposed on some recipients.
The administration's proposing what it calls the most ambitious expansion of school choice in American history. In making the announcement, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos offered few details on what would be done. In the Russia investigation, a top House Democrat says there's new evidence Michael Flynn lied during a security clearance review about money he received from Moscow. Flynn was fired as national security advisor, and he's now refusing to testify before a Senate committee. And from Washington, CBS's Bill Rakoff tells us.
Back in March, Trump separately asked Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats and NSA Director Admiral Mike Rogers to go public with a pushback against the Russian interference allegations. This occurred after former FBI Director James Comey testified before a House committee that the Bureau was investigating any such connection. The report says Coates and Rogers both refused to go along with the president, saying the request was inappropriate.
The Pentagon says U.S. forces killed seven al-Qaeda members in a raid in central Yemen. Airstrikes and small arms fire were used in the operation. In Pittsburgh, a third of the jury pool in the Bill Cosby sex assault trial said they had an opinion about the entertainer's guilt or innocence. Three men and two women, all white, have been picked for the jury so far. Cosby last week suggested race could be a motivator in the accusations against him. Outside Cleveland, a man with broken legs and arms crawled 300 yards out of a ravine 4 days after he fell off a cliff while hiking. Police believe the initial fall could have been up to 100 feet. The injured man managed to make it to a country club to get help. Two Americans on the International Space Station doing work outside today. Peggy Whitson, Jack Fisher making repairs to a critical relay box. Actress Dina Merrill has died at 93. She was the heiress to two fortunes. Her father was Wall Street broker E.F. Hutton. Her mother tied to the Post cereal empire. From the Gulf Coast to the Carolinas, there are flooding concerns today. CBS's Jim Krasula is watching the weather map.
With as much as 6 inches of rain expected, flood watches are posted for parts of 8 states in the deep south and southeast, from Texas to North Carolina. The excessive rain has farmers concerned. They're worried about swamped vegetable and fruit plants and trees.
Yesterday, the White House approved disaster aid to 9 Mississippi counties that suffered tornado damage late last month. Well, it pays to be the CEO. A new analysis by the Associated Press and an executive data firm finds Charter Communications boss Thomas Rutledge draws the top CEO paycheck in the country. Not even close, too. Rutledge earned $98 million last year. The survey finds CBS CEO Leslie Moonves second with nearly $69 million in compensation. And that's the CBS World News Roundup for Tuesday. For Vicky Barker in Manchester, England, I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.